Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, Killing of the Demon Trinavarta, text number 37. Savriksha Vishvam Sahasa Rajan Sanjata Vepatu Samila Mriga Shavakshi Natre Asit Swavishmita. Sa Mother Jashoda Vikshya by seeing Vishvam, the whole universe. Sahasa, suddenly within the mouth of her son. Rajan, O King, Maharaj Parikshit, Sanjata Vepatu, whose heart was beating, Samilya, opening, Rigashava Akshi, like the eyes of a deer cub, Netre, her two eyes, Asit, became, Suvishmita, astonished. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Mother Jashoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of her child, her heart began to throb. In astonishment, she wanted to close her restless eyes. Purport. Because of her pure maternal love, Mother Jashoda thought that this wonderful child playing so many tricks must have had some disease. She did not appreciate the wonders shown by her child. Rather, she wanted to close her eyes. She was expecting another danger, and therefore her eyes became restless like those of a deer cub. This is all the arrangement of Yoga Maya. The relation between Mother Jashoda and Krishna is one of pure maternal love. And that love, Mother Jashoda did not very much appreciate the display of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's opulences. In the beginning of this chapter, two extra verses sometimes appear. Evam bahuni karmani gopanam shamsa yoshitam nandasya gehe vavride kurvan vishnu janardhanaha. In this way, to chastise and kill the demons, the child Krishna demonstrated many activities in the house of Nanda Maharaj, and the inhabitants of Braj enjoyed these incidences. Evam sav vavride vishnur nanda gehe janardhanaha korvan asina anisham andan andanadam gopalanam sayoshitam. To increase the transcendental pleasure of the gopis and the gopis, Krishna, the killer of all the demons, was thus raised by his father and mother, Nanda and Jashoda. Shripad Vijayadwaja Tirtha also adds another verse after the third verse in this chapter. Vishtareneha Karunat Sarva Papa Pranashanam Bhaktam Arharsi Dharmajya Dalyalus Tvam Iti Prabhu. Pariksit Maharaj then requested Shukadeva Goswami to continue speaking such narrations at the pastimes of Krishna, so the king would enjoy them from the transcendental bliss. This ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Killing of the Demon Trinavarta. Just to review how we should, some suggestions, how we should read and hear these pastimes of Krishna. So my first question is, where do we feel from? Has anyone ever asked you that question before, Mukunda? Where do you feel from?
Feel
Right. Did you ever think about it? What's that?
Here.
Yes, internally. And everyone, where does everyone feel from? Same place. And what do they feel? Anyone know what they're feeling generally in the material world? What's that? Yeah, the mind. Sure, we feel through the mind. And what is the mind usually connected with? For most people in the world, what are they connected to? Which means? Well, that's broad, but specifically, what do they feel? What do you feel right now?
Fear.
Fear. That's all you fear? What about your foot? Do you feel your foot? Do you feel your foot?
I feel much.
So, we feel the body, right?
Yeah.
The senses. And then we feel what's going through our mind also. And what's going through most people's mind is what? Their body or other people's bodies. Or some imagination about something like that. Now, when we hear about the activities of this material world, what are we hearing about? Anyone ever go on the internet? Anyone ever go on the internet here? Yes, internet? You heard of the internet? The Nrisimha Seva, did you ever go on the internet? He doesn't. Okay, good. In any case, what we're observing or what we're experiencing on the internet is what everyone is just their inner feelings about the illusory energy. So what do we get from that? Observing people's feelings about the illusory energy. What do we get? We get illusion. We feel illusion. And it, what's that?
Confusion.
Confusion, illusion, whatever. Confusion is part of illusion. So that's what we're getting. We're feeding our feelings with other people's confusion and illusion. And we're trying to derive some pleasure. Do you think the people who are, of course, people like to watch their team become successful, right? And then the person who's successful feels some enthusiasm, elation from becoming successful. And we want to feel that too, as if we won. Vicarious. We can't even pick up the basketball, but when our hero puts it into the hoop and feels that he did something amazing, we feel like we did something amazing too. We try to grab hold of that feeling and feel like we're actually amazing too. Although it's his illusion, he's an illusion, and we want to experience his illusion because we think it's a happiness experiencing that particular state of being. I won. No one likes to see their team lose because they identify with the team, then they get depressed. Because that's what they feel is depression. And who wants to feel depression here? Anyone looking for depression? And therefore, we find over illusion, the illusory feelings in Central America, their football team, their soccer team lost, they started the war with the other country, which the soccer team won. That's called illusion. Their feelings. We're living in a world of just material feelings, and we want to get the positive feelings, and we don't get the positive feelings, we become angry, which is even lower negative feeling. And we try to enjoy the anger. I couldn't feel good, so now I'm going to crush that other person who made me feel bad, or that other team that made me feel bad, and that way I'll feel good, because I feel powerful. It's another kind of illusion that now I become very powerful and I'm crushing my 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 opposition. And in subtle ways, people compete, killing dragons in dungeons on the internet. Completely these illusory games where the you think you get an avatar, an illusory avatar, and you're in the dungeon, and your job is to kill as many dragons as possible. And if you kill more dragons than anyone else, you feel good. I see how powerful I am. I killed so many dragons. And if you lose, you feel bad, you know. I couldn't kill so many dragons. The dragon ate me during the game. I feel really terrible. Check my arm, it's still there. Well, that's at least my arm's still there. In other words, material life means one illusion after another, and we're trying to, because we're not very successful in our own illusions most of the time, we simply look to enjoy someone else's illusion. That's called choosing a leader who has a nicer illusion than we have, and try to enjoy that illusion. Now here, we're devotees, or we're aspiring devotees, so how do we become devotees from aspiring devotees? Well, we have to choose a leader. And in this case, we've chosen Mother Jasoda as our leader. Anyone here would like Mother Jasoda as your leader? Looking around to see if... you don't like Mother Jasoda? Okay. So, Mother Jasoda has become our leader in this pastime, the hero in the pastime. Not that, you know, Mother Jasoda is our leader, she's going to wake us up tomorrow. Or that wherever, you know, not in that sense. But she's our hero in the pastime. And we want to feel what she's feeling. Wouldn't we like to feel what Mother Jasoda is feeling? Yes. So how do we do that? So the same way we feel what everyone else is feeling. How do you feel when you're soccer team wins? Have you ever had a soccer team that you took as a hero? How did you feel when they won? So you felt something because you had some idea that something had happened, right? And you felt good about it. So here, Mother Jasoda is supposed to be non-different from hearing about her. In other words, if we were actually heard the transcendental vibration as spoken by Shukadeva Goswami in disciple succession, then he's actually, we have to have some idea that, at least theoretically, that he's actually there in the pastime. He's not just talking theoretically about something that happened, but he's actually there and experiencing it. Otherwise, how did he stay awake for 7 days and nights without eating or sleeping or even drinking anything? Every so often did he kind of nod out and preach more. Shukadeva, wake up. Oh, where am I? What's going on? Oh, that's right. And Mother Jasoda. Do we think he was being tortured for 7 days and nights? No, he wasn't even, from one sense, everyone in the Namasharanya forest, but this is not Namasharanya, but when they originally spoke in the Srimad Bhagavatam, or even the Namasharanya forest, there were thousands of sages there. Do you think they were nodding out? At night when when Shukadeva Goswami was talking, he looked around and saw everyone but Pariksha Maharaj was asleep. Do we think that's what was going on? And why wasn't it going on like that? What were they experiencing? The same thing why the tigers and the lions, or at least the tigers, and the deer and the elephants were dancing when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, because they weren't in this world, they were in the spiritual world. They were in spiritual consciousness, a world of bliss, and full consciousness of bliss, unlimited varieties of happiness and love. That's the world they were in. They were no longer tigers or deer. They were in a different world. They were not in the material world anymore. So this is our opportunity also to be in a different world in the spiritual world. We're not just reading these pastimes, or hopefully we're not reading these pastimes, just so we can spend another 45 minutes and get a little extra credit in Krishna's book. Yes, he came to the class. And at the end of our lives, the Yamaduta, the Vishnudutas come with their book. Yeah, he has a lot of checks next to that class mark. Bring him back to the spiritual world. What the heck? No, we're actually trying to enter into the spiritual world here and now through this hearing. So the first thing we do is have to hear. Now, of course, we've come to the 10th canto. It's assumed that we're on the Brahman platform. We've already gone off the material platform, and we're in the Brahman platform. We don't think Mother Jasoda had a material body. She had a spiritual body. Or at least her body, whatever body she had, that it didn't was an impediment for her spiritual consciousness. It was none different from something spiritual. And therefore, at least, if we want to feel what Mother Jasoda is feeling, first of all, we have to understand who Mother Jasoda is and what she was doing. So at least that much is, when we do that, that much association we get with Mother Jasoda. It may not be complete. For instance, we've just read, and if I asked you, what was the verse I just read? It's not on the board. And no one seems to have a computer here. So if I ask you, what did we just read? What was the verse number?
37.
So hopefully if we remember 37 at the time of death, we'll go back to God. So this is not a criticism, it's just our state of being. That our state of concentration is not so great. That as, who was that famous person who said, your instructions, my flickering mind is such, your instructions are very good, but they enter one ear and then go out the other one. Who said that? That was Dhritarashtra when Vidura was preaching to him. Your instructions are very good. Unfortunately, they go in one ear and out the other. We think, wow, what a rascal this Dhritarashtra. What a fallen soul. And then we hear some instruction go, zoop, zoop. Bye-bye instruction. So what's the remedy? Ah, I'm a rotten soul. I'll never go back to God. And I know I was fallen. I'm going to take my sticks and go home. My toys and go home. No, the remedy is to check ourselves and see if we heard anything. Otherwise, if you, just like Rahu, Rahu can eat as much as he wants. He never gets fat. Why is that? Because he doesn't have a body to get fat. He eats something, it just goes right through him. So in the same way, we have to check and see what our spiritual health is, what our digestion of the spiritual knowledge is. Because if we don't digest any of it, then we'll never get spiritually healthy. So the way of doing it is to read something and then see if we have actually heard it, if we've digested anything, if we've bitten it off at all, or it just we heard it in one ear and went out the other one. So it says, when Mother Jasoda saw the whole universe within the mouth. So that's quite significant. So we have to see Mother Jasoda. If we want to remember it, the easiest way of remembering it is to see Mother Jasoda. And if we don't know what Mother Jasoda looks like, then luckily we have a painting of Mother Jasoda here, a bona fide painting. This is actually Mother Jasoda as a member of the Ljubljana Temple. She'll probably be here longer than we will. And she's doing more service to Krishna than we can imagine. Even though it doesn't look like she's distributing any books. She's not cooking any prasadam. But still, she's so much love she has for Krishna that she's doing better than all anyone else can imagine. So we can imagine Mother Jasoda, the painting here. If we don't remember the descriptions of Mother Jasoda in the books, from which these paintings come from. So we can imagine Mother Jasoda, and then we can see Krishna. And here's a perfect picture of baby Krishna. And we can see him opening his mouth, and Mother Jasoda seeing the whole universe, however you want to imagine the universe. There's a description there also in the next chapter of the universe, so if you want to read the next chapter. So this is called imagination. So does that make us a sahajiya if we're using our imagination like that? I heard you were actually imagining the pastimes. Wow, you're really fallen, aren't you? Does that make us a sahajiya? We're actually meditating on Krishna with Mother Jasoda. Oh, Mother Jasoda's all right. It was when we get to Radharani and Krishna, that's where we get into difficulty. So what does anyone think? What do you think, Timur?
No, we are not sahajiya, if you imagine.
What's that?
If we imagine Mother Yashoda, that's okay.
Why?
Because it helps us to feel something, to remember this, what we read, this situation.
Well, that's a bona fide. That's bona fide. Anyone else have any comments on that? What about when we look out in this world? Do we use our imagination when we look out into the world? Anyone looking out the world? Are you using your imagination? Adaya? Yeah, the whole world we're seeing is just our imagination. It's not that it doesn't exist, but what we're seeing is our imagination. We're always using our imagination. But unless we see through scripture, then we're seeing illusion instead of reality. And if we see through scriptures, it's like putting on glasses. We may not get 20/20 vision all at once, but at least we see better. Vidya vanaya sampane brahmani gavi hastani shuni chaiva swapake cha pandita samadarshana. That the learned sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with the equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the dog, the elephant, and the dog eater. So when we look around with those eyes and we see everything different, everyone is Krishna's servant, all living entities are Krishna's servant, and our male and female and everything else hopefully goes away to some extent, and we think that there's a soul inside the body, and the body is just a machine that the soul is in, that the real person is the soul. So now we're seeing with knowledge. Now that knowledge in itself is to gradually teach us how to act on the spiritual platform. In other words, if we see everyone as a spiritual soul, we won't get so much disturbed over what they have to give me or what they might take away from me, which is the material world. Every time we look at someone, we're thinking, will they give me something? Are they going to take something away from it? Now, giving me something maybe physical, giving me prasadam, or giving me a slap on the back, or maybe something more subtle. They're giving me, oh, you're so wonderful, Prabhu. I think you're wonderful. And they, yes, yes, yes. We enjoy their love of our false ego. Or at least we enjoy their love with our false ego. Or you're a rotten fool. I go, wow. Then we suffer because of identification with our false ego again. So, in the material world, everyone is seeing things through either through the false ego or through the scriptures. When we see through the false ego, we try to enjoy other people's, what they give us, or what they take away, or we suffer from what they take away from us. And this, we want to use the same thing in hearing about Krishna. In other words, we want to experience what Mother Jasoda is experiencing. First of all, we have to visualize what's going on. It's just like we have to visualize that what's going on according to Bhagavad Gita in this world, then we have to act according to it. Now, in this particular instance, if we can visualize, then eventually we could try to become appreciative of Mother Jasoda, appreciative of her feelings towards Krishna, and then, therefore, the result is we try to feel what's going on. We actually become desirous of feeling something, what's going on in these pastimes. Not just visualizing them, because if we don't visualize them, there's nothing to feel. But then we want to feel, and then didadami buddhi yogam tam. And it's up to Krishna, and by the mercy of the submissive attitude towards Mother Jasoda and Krishna's devotees, they may bless us and ask Krishna to reveal to us what's going on. And then we can feel something about Mother Jasoda's feelings. And anything when Krishna gives us intelligence, any just a little maternal feeling, a little bit of ecstasy, that means we're getting, this is how we get mercy. Mercy is not some kind of abstract thing. You go, can you give me blessings? And you go, yeah, blessings, blessings. No, this is the blessings. How to enter into Krishna's pastimes by asking for that mercy. That's the mercy that Prabhupada came to give us, that kind of mercy. Otherwise, we're getting, you know, Prabhu, can you give me some more prasadam? Which is nice. That's also mercy, but if it's done in devotional service, then it's mercy. But if it's like, you know, can you say something nice about me instead of all the rotten things you always tell me and make me feel terrible? Can you say something nice for once in a while? Then that kind of mercy we're asking for is just purely to feed our false ego. And we might get some mercy that way, and we might, one way or the other, someone may say, no, there's nothing nice about you. The best thing I can say about you is that there's nothing I want to say about you. So that's also mercy, trying to take away our false ego. Or you're so wonderful, Prabhu, and that's also encouraging. But in the material world, it's all a waste of time. Because people don't learn, usually. When they're being smashed, their false ego is being smashed, their gross or subtle body is being smashed, they just get angry, or frustrated, or depressed. And when something wonderful happens to them, from the material point of view, they become artificially elated, thinking it's going to last forever. I've finally made heaven forever. Only to get disappointed when they get crashed, they go crashing again. After some time. Just like there was one devotee I know. He found out from the doctor that he had a heart condition and he was going to live only for 1 year longer. So he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm only going to live 1 year longer. Can you give me Babaji? So Prabhupada made him a Babaji. And his only service was to chant. But he was not that advanced, so he was chanting. He got bored after some time, because he wasn't really chanting offenselessly. So then, he went to Prabhupada after some months, and he asked Prabhupada, see, Prabhupada, I can't chant all this time, this so often. Can you give me sannyas instead of Babaji? Babaji is when you renounce everything, you just sit in one place, you just chant the whole day. So the Prabhupada said, yes, you can be a sannyasi. So then after a year, he was still alive. He was quite surprised. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, I made a mistake. You don't have a heart condition. You're all right. You're not going to die. So he said, I'm not going to die. So then he gave up sannyas and went back to live with his girlfriend. So this is called illusion. That we have to remember that we're living in the material world in all varieties of illusion, and our only shelter is actually the instructions found in these books. And the other shelter is to observe the devotees who are following these books as an example, or to observe the devotees who are following these books, and maybe to help them if we have some knowledge of how they can improve following these books, or to teach people who are new what the value of these books. But ultimately, our shelter is these books, and learning how to use our intelligence and our minds to enter into these books and experience them. Not just read them, but to live them and experience them. Then we'll actually understand what we're here for. We'll actually experience freedom at first from all anxiety and illusions, and then gradually we'll experience some actually feelings of love towards Krishna and everyone and everything in relation to Krishna. So that's what we're here for, to do that. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, I would like
microphone, to, here it goes.
Thank you. I would like to ask you, it is one very interesting point in the purport of Srila Prabhupada. He quoted two additional verses, and he said sometimes they appear in Srila Bhagavatam. So how to understand it properly, that sometimes they appear?
I guess it depends on who's reciting it, where they got it from. It says in the beginning of this chapter, two extras sometimes appear. Well, it depends on who's reciting it, if they include it or not. So, even sometimes, someone may put it in, someone may not put it in. That's all I know. Yeah.
And I would like to ask you, because we know that Lord Shri Krishna enjoyed to be treated as an ordinary child by Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj and Vrajavasis, it gives him more pleasure than if everyone knows that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I would like to ask you then how to properly understand what was his intention behind these pastimes to show...
Krishna... He's under yoga maya also, so he thinks he's a baby. When he shows the universal form in his mouth, that's not him, that's his expansion showing it. Krishna is always, he's under yoga maya, like Mother Jasoda is under yoga maya. He's also under a spiritual illusion. He thinks he's a baby. And if he shows something extraordinary, he's one of his expansions is showing it. Anything else? Khala Granthara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.